Hi, everybody. Glad you're here. We'll just wait a half a moment for people to pile in. I hope you've all had a good 2 weeks. I've been thinking about you. It's been good to see some of you in the Facebook group. So we are going to continue with our creating awareness module today, and we're going to have a practicum. Before we get to the practicum, a couple of pieces. First of all, a small housekeeping piece. On June 20th, it's not that far away, time is going so fast. On June 20th, you should have on your calendars, we've had scheduled our special longer workshop. I title it for new and tentative practitioners. It is a workshop to come to if you are new completely to coaching, if you are a seasoned practitioner, but a new coach. It's a great workshop for you to come to if you're a seasoned coach, but you haven't gone deeper in your work and you're feeling kind of tentative about going deeper, or you're feeling tentative about doing things differently, or tentative about the somatic work. Or if you're a seasoned practitioner and you're tentative, maybe you've been doing single sessions. So there's tentativeness around, moving your work into a container. The purpose of that 3-hour workshop is twofold. The first purpose is to normalize fear and anxiety, because I know that there can be a lot of it, and reduce some of the anxiety and become better friends with the fear of being a new practitioner, working with clients, or working with clients in a new way, whatever it is for you. And then the second purpose of that time that we'll have together is that's really a perfect moment in the training. At that point, we'll be through our listening module, our creating awareness module, and our questioning modules. And so for those of you who are very new to coaching, it's also a moment where we'll start to look at how to put all of those pieces together into coaching sessions. So I always try to encourage, if you can come live, if you feel like that workshop is for you, if you can come live to it, that's definitely one to come live to. We have a really, it's very interactive. We have a very rich discussion. It's usually pretty intimate, and we have a really good time. It's a very meaningful couple of hours. In that workshop, we'll get into more details about the makeup of a coaching session. But just as a quick reminder, for those of you that are new who are working with practice partners, kind of like the overarching outline of a coaching session is to start by getting clear on what your client's intention is. What is it that they want to receive by the end of the session, or what's their intention? Some folks before that like to do a short grounding or a visualization or just coming into the space, then setting intentions. And then from there, once you're both clear on where your client wants to end up, by the end of the session. Most of the rest of the time is, you know, we can call it like the body of the session. That's where you're using your listening skills, your creating awareness skills, your questioning skills, strategizing skills, visioning skills in order to navigate, support your client to move more towards their intention, towards their goal. And then I always like to save the last couple of minutes for a session to go over or get clarity on action items that your client will be taking. And then again, remember ending with takeaways. What have they received from the call? What are they taking away from the session? So that's kind of like a good just overarching, you know, guideline to be thinking about for your sessions. For some of you who are doing the coaching partner sessions, you might find that like that 25 minutes isn't enough time to do all of that. It is definitely a short amount of time. And so I want to just acknowledge that and give you a couple of options. The first is the goal to remember the goal of the coaching partner sessions. Like, yes, there's this added benefit that your partner gets coached and, you know, they hopefully get some really good stuff personally from themselves, from being the client. But the goal, at least right now, is not to get to the end of the session where the client is going to take away exactly what their intention is. The goal is to practice the skill that we're working on from the last training session or two. So you might want to think about that it's okay to not get to the end of a session in those practice calls, so long as you're pumping iron on the skill that you're working on that week. That's one way you can look at the sessions if you feel like you don't have enough time. Another option is to alternate who's the coach and who's the client every other session so that you do have more time together. But, you know, the other thing just to remember, no matter how you do it, is the reflection time afterwards is really just as valuable as the time that you're coaching. That conversation, that reflecting with the shared language that you and your partner have from our training calls is so, so valuable. Let me pause. Hold on. Let me put Victoria on mute. Okay. That's okay. Any questions on the upcoming new and tentative practitioner workshop or on anything that I just mentioned? That workshop is on June 20th, and it has been scheduled for months, Maria. So if you downloaded the calendar of, you know, training calls for the program, it's on there. It should already be on your calendar, and it's been in the member center as well. So it's June 20th from 11 to 2 Eastern. Catherine.
I am really glad that I appreciate the last question and the last answer, because I've been kind of having this, like, I do not feel, I feel like I'm sort of missing something or like just not caught up or whatever, like, I feel unprepared as someone who hasn't been a coach. So anyway, that was great to hear. Thank you. Sort of a follow-up to that is I'm wondering, like, and I don't really know how to articulate this, and I've been trying to figure out how to articulate this, so it's kind of a little jumbly jobbly to like get to it, and I'll try not to take 10 days to get there. But basically I'm wondering, like sort of why I'm looking for, I feel like it would help me understand a little bit like what the body is and what we're doing in the coaching session. Like, what is coaching or why does it work? And I'm thinking something like, from what I've kind of gathered, it's like coaching all these questions and sort of clarifying and creating awareness is about connecting people to what they want and their values, because really connecting to the values and what they want helps give them the motivation for accomplishing it or something. But like, I'm kind of looking for some kind of like philosophy of why coaching works or what it is that we're actually doing when we're asking the questions. Does that make sense? Is that?
It makes sense. It's such a great question. I'll give you a little bit now, but on that workshop, we're going to go deeper because there isn't one definition of what is coaching. I wish I could say this is
it. I feel like I'm asking my mom what sex is going to feel like or something. I'm like, well, I mean, it's this whole, and I'm like, no, just get like, I know it's a broad, it's not a one sentence, but even some like dibble dabble something like it does. Yeah. I'm so aware that it's not a quick answer.
Right. No, I know. So, but we'll have like a very rich exploration of that because it's different. It's actually different for each practitioner, which I think is such a beautiful thing. What I will say for now is that I think will be helpful for you and maybe some other people is even though Sacred Depths is not a method of coaching, it is a kind of style, I guess you can say, of coaching. And one of my driving factors in all the coaching work that I do is that the work for my clients be coming together of reaching their goals while also creating a more meaningful inner life for themselves, and kind of how those two things intersect. So you might love that definition. You might be like, nah, that's not for me. It's all open for, it's up for grabs. But if you're here, like if you are attracted to the, you know, a lot of coaching programs are going to say it's about achieving outer goals. But if you're attracted to Sacred Depths, probably it's more than that for you, or you desire for it to be more than that. And then we can kind of get deeper into all of that in a few weeks.
Yeah. That's all part of it. And I'll ask more questions like when we do the June 20th, because it really is just sort of like, why do the mechanics of what we're doing work? Because I think that'll help me understand what the mechanics are. I do appreciate that answer and to be continued.
Yeah, I love that question. And so definitely ask it. And also I'm going to give you homework if you want to take it on. As you practice each week or even after each of our training questions, ask that question about what we just learned or what you just practiced, and then journal some answers on it for yourself. And then I promise I will also answer and we will have a discussion. But if you're up for it, I think there'll be a lot of learning and discovery through that as well.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so glad you asked. Okay. Now, one last little piece. So that workshop, even if you're a seasoned practitioner, feel free to come. You will learn things in that workshop, I promise you, because I'm sure you've got your own edges of tentativeness wherever you are. And if you are a seasoned practitioner, I said this in our first call, and I've said it a few times, and I'm going to keep on saying it throughout the program. I want to remind you to be on your personal edge as we move through this program. So how are you taking the nuances of what we're learning? Right now we're in our foundation skills. How are you taking the nuances and then applying it to your client sessions? Where are the places where you've become stagnant or kind of just resting on your laurels, or maybe just gotten bored with your own, you know, how you're moving through your sessions, or that aren't quite working, right? And then how can you take the details and the nuances and the flourishes that we're learning just even from the basics here, because these basics, the foundation skills, it's the DNA of all of the more advanced stuff, right? And what are your goals? What are your goals for your coaching? And then how can you consistently pull and apply each week? As a reminder for everyone, with sacred depths and with most things in life, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So also have patience. Okay. I, as you all know, because I mentioned in our listening practicum, I love when we have these calls. We're going to have our creating awareness practicum today. So we're going to get to really practice and test out and do some stretching with the creating awareness muscles. I want to do just a very quick review of the pieces that we looked at in our two creating awareness training calls. So in our first creating awareness call, we looked at a lot of different ways of reflecting. We looked at reflecting things that are harder to reflect, and we looked at different ways of reflecting those tougher things, direct ways, personal anecdotes, receiving permission. We looked at some kind of like half question ways. We looked at some more simple mirroring and reflecting. In our second creating awareness training call, we looked at honoring what is. We looked at normalizing as a part of honoring what is. We looked at celebrating and different ways of celebrating and issues around celebrating. We also looked at consulting or facting as a way of creating awareness as well. So let me ask you, what's been resonating for you around creating awareness? What have you been noticing in your practice sessions, in your sessions with clients, for yourself? Maybe there's something you want to celebrate around creating awareness that you've been working on, or any any observations as well. What are things that you've been thinking about that have been resonating, that have been feeling important, you want to celebrate when it comes to creating awareness? Or what questions have come up? Jennifer.
Hey, can you hear me okay? There's a leaf blower very close by. Okay. Something that I remember you talking about was the repair conversation. I think that came up, and you know, it can be really tricky. And I really appreciated how you mentioned it doesn't have to be so complicated. And although I haven't really needed any like technical repair conversations with my clients, I have noticed when one of my clients gets super challenged and charged, I just don't take it like personally. It's just like, I'm here with you, but I'm not here for you, you know what I mean? So I just really appreciated you saying that. I think you said, is there more that they would like to share? And just in those moments, just kind of like letting them know I'm holding it down, and then they have more permission to release what all the stuff that they need to, and just creating that culture of safety and container without
us.
Not mine. It's a, there's a boundary, which is super healthy and safe, actually. So I just appreciated that.
Yes. I'm so glad you're sharing that. I love it because it's also a, such a beautiful illustration of how the energetics are important in everything. And I see how there's a some shifting of energetics happening for you that are also allowing you to then apply the language that's creating the safe container. And then also having some more of the language is also helping you shift your energetics. And so it's really, really beautiful. Nicely done.
Thanks. Yeah, it's like a resting into it.
Yes. Yeah. Great. Golda.
It's a combination of a celebration and a share. I'm going to give the short version of it, but I have a client who was looking to, was asking for a refund. They had prepaid for the whole year. And in getting their consent of reflecting a hard truth, they came to realize that actually, that they don't want to have a refund. And yeah, I actually made a whole video to post in the group to sort of get some support and feedback. And then we had a session yesterday. And at the end, when I asked them what they were taking away for themselves, they said that they want to continue coaching.
Hey, so well done. Kind of big. That's huge. So, so well done. So well done on, you know, even though you didn't give all the details, but just, I can feel how you held the space and the energetics that you came from, which wasn't like, I need for this client to stay a client, but it also wasn't like, I'm just going to run away and feel terrible about myself. It was leaning in with the curiosity that we've been talking about. And then it sounds like that ability to get the permission and to reflect the truth really supported some breakthroughs for your client.
And I'll add to that, all of that, and just like so much safety in the container. Yeah. So thank
Yay.
You.
Yay. Huge. So well done. Yes. Beautiful. Lisa is sharing in the chat. I'm really noticing the power of honoring what is, how freeing it is for a client, and how it helps them to reduce some of the judgment that they may have about not being where they want to be. There's a common theme with my clients about not getting enough done or not making enough progress. I think it's a common theme with everybody. But when I've honored all the things that are going on in their life, they've been able to breathe and see the reality of their situation in a kinder way. So beautiful. I'm so glad that you're pointing that out. And this actually speaks to Catherine a little bit about what I was sharing before around coaching, where in this kind of coaching that we're doing, we're helping our clients reach their goals, but we're also helping them live more meaningful lives and evolve overall. And what Lisa's shared here is such a beautiful example of that. The honoring what is for sure is actually going to help her clients reach their goals more easily because they're going to be spending less time beating up on themselves. And also the honoring what is helping them build a muscle that they're going to have for life around deeper self-love and compassion and acceptance. Okay, great. So one more piece before we go into our practicum, a little bit of self-coaching, creating awareness for yourself. So I've got a couple of questions for you. One is, what's one thing that you would like to celebrate? What's one thing that you would like to celebrate? It can be inner, it can be outer. big or small, but something that you would really like to acknowledge and take a moment to really celebrate. And whatever that thing is, take a moment and feel it. Don't just write it down. Don't just have it be a cognitive awareness. Bring the awareness into your body, into your soul. However you want to do that for yourself, but bring it down deeper in. Really honor the celebration. Honor yourself. Good. Jessica has a para athlete that you're training for the U.S. National Para Dragon Boat Team. I have not heard of the National Para Dragon Boat Team, but it sounds amazing. All right, here's another question. What is something that is going on for you right now that you would like to honor what is? In other words, maybe something shitty or not so great, or a disappointment, or a feeling that you want to just really honor it, right? So as an example for me, I'm definitely on the other side of this surgery, thank goodness. And also it has been hard and I'm not completely back to myself. And it's been really important for me to just to honor that, right? That I am where I am. So what is something for you right now? It's important to honor what is. Maybe you've been hating on it or shaming on it or judging it instead. Now it's time to shift on that and honor it. And then just take a moment and make that more than just the cognitive for yourself. Really honor yourself. What would be different in your life if daily you honored what is? If daily you found a celebration? Two more self-coaching questions on creating awareness. What's something that you want to normalize for yourself? So it could also be related to the honoring what is, or it could be something else, but it's like you actually have the wisdom, you know, it's normal. And yet you have been acting like it's not normal and beating yourself up for it. What is something that you want to normalize for yourself? So again, another personal example, over and over last week, I had to come back to normalizing that healing after surgery is cyclical and not linear, and that it takes time. Somehow I knew that, but I was like making myself a superwoman in my head and then beating myself up for not being that superwoman. It was celebrating, making space to focus on your personal and business journey. You're committed. Jennifer is normalizing, really having some physical and mental discomfort surrounding perimenopause and feeling down about it. Yes. Alexandra is normalizing pregnancy, body going through some wild waves and surges and leaving you feeling not like yourself. Yes, it's okay to feel low. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. One more question. What is something that you would like to reflect to yourself? So in any of the ways that we looked at reflecting, maybe there's a harder truth that you want to get real with or get real with again, or maybe it's a different kind of reflection. What is something that you would like to reflect to yourself? And if there is a share or two, I'd love to hear from practitioner point of view, even just going back this very, very quick review with these self-coaching questions, what's something you're seeing and noticing and learning about creating awareness, or something you want to remember for yourself, practitioner point of view. Anyone want to share? Lisa's saying, creating awareness for clients feels way easier than creating it for myself. Yep. It's a practice, and that's why we need coaches. Anyone want to say anything? No? All right. That must mean that we are officially ready for our practicum time. So here is here's how I want to invite you to think about or to move into this practicum time. I'm gonna, just like we did for our listening practicum, I'm gonna ask for a volunteer to share with us something that they would like to be coached on. And again, it's not gonna be a coaching session. I'm gonna actually try my best to not coach, but I am going to ask some questions so that all of us can really get a lot of information from our client. And then we'll open up, and the invitation. So you have two choices. Whereas in the listening practicum, we're just sharing different things that we had heard. Now I want us to get more refined and use our creating awareness skills, right, to add to that. So the invitation is to create awareness on one piece of information that you heard using the language that you would use in the coaching session, right? So as if you were speaking directly to the client, use the language. So this is a great opportunity to practice honoring what is, to practice celebrating in a way that feels really aligned, to practice reflecting, et cetera. So, and especially if you are seasoned, my invitation to you is to not try to look good. And what I mean by that is when you raise your hand, don't create awareness on the thing that you know how to, that you know really well how to do. Create awareness on the thing that's a stretch for you, or use language that you want to, you're not sure about, that you want to be experimenting with, right? This is kind of like an experimental place for that as well. If you are not, you're just like, I can't use the language and speak directly to, I don't want you to feel like you can't raise your hand, please still raise your hand and just share with us what you, if you were the practitioner, what you would want to create awareness on, one thing for that client, and why that is important, would be important in that session to create awareness on it. That makes sense? Any questions before we go in? I'd love a volunteer, someone who's going to be okay with whatever awareness gets created, whether it resonates or doesn't resonate. You get to decide, obviously, in the end, if it's a truth for you. But great, Maria. Hi. Thank you for volunteering.
My pleasure.
So again, I'm going to remind you, I'm not going to coach. So there are going to be moments where I'm so going to want to like honor you or celebrate you or reflect or this or that, but I'm going to really try to hold myself back. So don't feel like I'm leaving you hanging. And also we might jump around just so I can get us as much information as possible. Sound good?
Perfect.
Okay, great. So if this was a session, what is it that you would want to receive from the session?
I would want to receive some sort of reflection or feedback or maybe a tool or refinement, because I'm celebrating something. And then I just have this one little piece that's in my mind that it was all good, but this one little thing. And I just kind of want to sort out that one little piece.
Okay, great.
That's bothering me.
Yeah, tell us.
Okay, so we just completed an 8-week journey, a Qigong journey last night. And it was awesome. It was this phenomenal blend of this metaphysical and spiritual transcendent sort of mystical experience. And it was also very grounded in practical, tangible steps to help people be healthy in their body, feel vital and alive. And at the very end, everybody landed 2 feet on the ground, solid, with some actionable next steps, and they had clear ways of how they started and how they ended, and it was all very positive. My challenge as a practitioner is I run over time. And so last night I prepared everybody, we were gonna go over time, and and I have all this stuff I want to give them, and I'm trying to cut it down. I literally really am like cutting it down. And yet we still went over 15 minutes. And for whatever reason, that's bothering me, because I come from midwifery world where time isn't that important, meaning it's an organic experience and whatever happens and unfolds, we're done when the process is done, not what the clock says. So I'm really live in an organic time world, and I'm trying to take a timeless outside of time, putting it into time. Meaning all the one little thing that's bothering me is last night there was a woman that was sharing and it was so beautiful, but I found myself wanting her to get to the point, right? And I did not interrupt, but there was multiple times that I wanted to be like, okay, you know, I wanted to interrupt her, and I felt like I was a midwife sitting on my hands, like wanting to help her, but not help her. But then ultimately she got to a point that was very, and it didn't really take all that long. It was just that we were going over time, and she went to a really vulnerable, beautiful sharing, and all the sisters in the circle really held her, and it was lovely. And so that's the only little piece is me. Maybe it's me that's going over time, but I'm blaming them for telling too much of the story or something. And so it all went great. But I, in my mind, my question is, should I have interrupted her? Should I have made her get to the point? Should I have gotten her to the point quicker? It's more like my facilitation skills to get to that gold nugget faster. But really, the whole process was beautiful, and to allow the process to be beautiful as it is. But we went over time 15 minutes, and late at night, that's 10:15 p.m., right? And so That's really what I want coaching on, is that.
Yeah, so let me just make sure, well, not make sure that I'm getting it right, but let me ask you this, because obviously, you know, in this space, we're not gonna consult on should have done this, that, or the other thing. So for you, on a deeper level, I hear part of what you want to walk away with is, should you have cut it off? Should you have gone as long? And I feel like there's something else that you want here too. What is it ideally, if this were a session, beyond just the answer of how should I have handled that, what else would you want to walk away with for you?
I don't know. I suppose what I want to walk away with is the, you know, had I not been in this course, I probably wouldn't have thought about it. I probably wouldn't have been so thinking about how to do this so professional. I just would have been like, oh, she shared a story. Okay, well, 15 minutes. All right, great. We were done. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in this like overanalyzing. So maybe what I want is to just release the overanalyzing and allow it to just be as it is. And knowing that in this session, you're not going to give me the tool to cut down my time. And so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. And I, you know, the whole point last night was all about sovereignty. So in a way, here I am raising my hand, asking for validation from an outside source when I was just sharing everyone to be sovereign in your own self, do your own thing. And then here I am. Oh, teacher, did I do it right? And so it's almost a question of sovereignty. That might be what's here.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. I was sensing that it was like, yes, of course, it's always great to get tips or whatever, but I was sensing that there was this other piece in there because you were celebrating so much. And then there is this other thing. So beautiful. Okay. Share with us another, when have you been in a similar situation where your sovereignty, you were questioning your own sovereignty, or where your sovereignty was on shaky ground?
Where my sovereignty was on shaky ground. I would say in I would say in the beginning of new training sessions. In the beginning of new training sessions, I take in everybody else's teaching. I take in their curriculum, their program, their stuff, and then I try to make it into myself, and then some of it fits and some of it doesn't, and then I try to copy what they're doing. So, and then I'm like, oh, but that's not me, that's them. Right. And so then I have to then through experience of these experiences, then I'm like able to keep what resonates as mine and shed. But in the beginning, I kind of like make myself so moldable that I'm just like, oh, I'm going to copy my mentors.
Yeah.
And not but then and then in a lot of my practices, that's what you're supposed to do. Like right. I'm training as a midwife. My mentor trained me. Do what my mentor does. Yes. And as a martial artist, you do what your mentor does. And now we're in these places where you do your own thing.
Yes.
And I'm copying a mentor, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I was going to say, and this is a little bit of creating awareness. I was going to normalize that and say there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a lot of people's process. That's certainly how I learned a lot of things, emulating and then making my own. So based on what you're sharing, it sounds like some of that is learned from other, you know, programs in that this is how you do it. And I'm wondering if there's also something else there. So is there a belief that is driving, I need to mold myself to be like the expert or something?
Oh, sure. It comes from the belief of, you know, so sovereignty, back to sovereignty, you know, I have a big energy, right? I tend to be, And so the belief that I'm always changing is, oh, I'm too much. And so I'm changing it into, oh, the space I was in was just too little. Like the playground I was on was just not big enough for me, right? I need to be in a bigger spot, not that I need to shrink. But so some of that could be the too muchness, you know. But also it could also be, because I've reflected on this, I put a lot of information into these ceremonies, right? And or into the, this was like part ceremony, part teaching. And so partially it could also be the paradox of I'm too much is I'm not enough. So I'm going to overgive and I'm going to overput too much, pack too much stuff in. And then we're going to run over time. And it's, but in this case, I don't feel like I gave them more. I didn't run over time and that was generous. It was just, we ran over time because of the content, but I could see myself in the past over put too much in. So you can think I'm smart or I'm skilled or I'm all this X, Y, Z. So I'm going to give you a lot.
Good. Okay, good. I'm going to jump from there. What does sovereignty mean to you?
Sovereignty means to me is being present in the moment, having present moment awareness in my body, in my mind, and responding in a way that feels truthful and in integrity in that moment. And that I can make decisions from being in my center, and that I know that my decisions and my actions and my words and my deeds are influencing myself, but they are influencing all other beings. Like I'm intimately connected. So what I do when I'm out of alignment or when I'm in alignment is influencing everyone else's. So it's my responsibility to be in alignment and in my center and in the truth of who I am so that those around me, they can also be in their center and be in the truth of who they are. So when I thrive, they thrive. When I'm off center, they're off center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And what does sovereignty, I think I want to ask this question. What does sovereignty about your work mean?
What does sovereignty about my work mean? That's a multiple answer question, but one is that I'm sharing what's mine to share. Like, what's my personal experience, what I've lived through, what I've gone through. I can take them through the depths of where I've been. If I can take them all the way through it, because I've been there myself, there's that. But I also think I can be in my sovereign self and utilize the tools and the teachings of my mentors, and I can bring all those pieces in and incorporate them into my work. So primarily, I would say for me, sovereignty, whether or not I created it, that I have been through it, that I understand, I can embody what it is that I'm teaching.
Beautiful. Okay, good. And what would sovereignty look like about what happened last night with the going overtime?
It would be forgiveness to myself for giving myself a hard time for going over 15 minutes in one way, like reframe the time, maybe come up with a more accurate sense of how long it's actually going to take and prepare them for that. But also come back to myself and re-look at what I offered and just try to trim it down a little bit more. So it's multifold. Forgive myself, celebrate, go back and refine. Forgive myself, celebrate, go back and refine. You know, like come back to center, you know.
What are you noticing just even as you share about that for yourself? That
I'm embodying the very teachings that I'm doing. And I wobble and I come back to center and I wobble and come back to center. Just like the practice. I'm living the practice.
Yes. Beautiful. Take a moment. I'm going to jump again. I'm just jumping all over the place. What language do you use for higher wisdom for yourself? Higher wisdom, spirit.
Oh, you mean like divine spirit? I would say like
either.
Yeah, I kind of. Yeah,
in yourself or spirit. Divine.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with divine or higher wisdom, higher knowledge, essence being, essence self, okay. Divine human.
Okay, great. Is it okay to connect in with your higher wisdom?
Yes.
Yeah. What does your higher wisdom, yeah, take a moment, feel it in your body. Where are you feeling it?
Well, when I went into my body, first I felt my body, but then I was like, connect with my higher wisdom. And so what I feel is my energetic body around me. I can feel my roots and I can feel my trunk. I can feel my canopy. So my higher wisdom to me feels very much like a tree of life. And so it's like my body is in the trunk, I suppose, you know, and then, yeah. Anyway, so I feel it in my body, but really what I feel is my body is inside of it.
Beautiful. I even get some of that body sensation as you're describing it. So as you connect into that higher wisdom, what does the higher wisdom want you to know about going over time last night?
What I just saw was a, you know, since I said a tree kind of swaying in the wind, but then I just saw some trimmers kind of trimming away a couple little like branches. Like there might've been a little like branch or something that just need to get trimmed off. So trim off what doesn't need to be there. Just trim off the old branch. Mm-hmm. Release, let go, compost, breathe it out.
Yeah. And is you're doing great. Keep on connecting in.
Okay.
Is there anything else that it wants you to know about the trimming or the process of the trimming that would be important for you?
What I'm seeing is when I trim it, I can clearly see this too. When I trim it, like some of these lower branches or whatever, trimming these lower branches, when I trim those, it's just going to create more space. So by having the key necessary components to the practice or to your sessions and not all the little pieces, clearing those little pieces, those little branches away will create this like sphere where we can all be in. And so that in a way, the less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even though now my lesser self comes in, it's like, but I thought I did that. I've been trying to do that. I'm doing that. And there's still some learning.
Yeah.
So there's a patience.
So what is the wisdom? What does the wisdom want that self to know?
The wisdom is the cycle continues. You're going to be in this position again. As soon as you see that branch in your face, trim it away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. And anything that your higher wisdom wants you to know about forgiveness?
I'm feeling my heart. And then as soon as you say forgiveness, I feel my heart soften. And then there's this like nice, like soft white, almost like a veil on me. And so just being, include myself in the forgiveness more even more consciously than I already do.
Okay. Great. All right. I'm going to keep on jumping just a little bit more. You move out of the higher wisdom place. the part that dropped down that was like, but I did trim, I did try to make it shorter. What part was that? What part of you was that?
My brain and my part that's like, I've really worked hard on that. Come on. Like I spent hours trimming out all the stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice,
feel that
energy to your voice when you speak from that part of yourself?
Yeah. It was kind of like childy or, you know, like stubborn.
Uh-huh. Tell us more about that. How does that play into all of this?
I don't know. I guess part of just the, I don't know. How does this play into it? How does this play? I guess it comes from I work so hard to be good at what I do. People think it comes naturally and partially it does, but I put an immense amount of work into it. And so it's almost like, what more could I possibly do to make this? So there's this that really is covering up the, what more could I possibly do to like, I did all that I could, you know, I did the best I could. And it was, and, you know, so it starts to become that like.
Yeah, that feels important to me. Does it feel important to you? This kind of thing that you're talking about, it's like the stubborn is kind of there as a protective mechanism for the part that's like, but I worked so hard, what else can I do? And so then it kind of like goes into the fight or the stubborn. Does that feel important to you? And if so, why, and how is it related to sovereignty? I know I'm stacking questions. Oh. I shouldn't, but I'm just going to ask all of that.
You're asking me how, yes, I do feel like it's important because I'm bringing it up because I have no idea what I'm going to say. And that's what's coming out. So that's what's here. And it is, those are polarizing things like, What's important? How is that related to sovereignty? Well, I think it comes back to the forgiveness and the recentering and the realizing this is a practice and this is, you know, it comes back to, it comes back to, I just have this memory of like being a sassy teenager. I'll just say it like this. Mother Mary comes to me a lot, and in births a lot, she'd come to me. And there were times I would be like, Mother Mary, I was sassy to her. And she was like, boom, don't be sassy to me. She like put me in my place. And so it feels like that lovingly, like I'm being initiated by my own sovereign self to quit, grow up and open up and just do the work and forgive yourself and do it again. Mm-hmm. Just do it again. Don't resist. Don't sass yourself. Mm. Don't sass the work. That's extra branches. Trim those branches. Those branches are in your way.
Mm. Great. Anything else that you want to share or that's come to mind, or just before we kind of wrap, anything else that's important?
Anything else I want to share? I just want to circle it back to going over time. That's all. I just want all of, I guess the awareness piece for me is to how all these different ways of being in higher wisdom and all those different ways, how those are dances to help me get back to my center and creating this, because it's integrity. Holding a container is integrity. Holding sovereignty is being in integrity. Holding a container of time is integrity. And so when you're in all these like little different motions and you're not necessarily holding the shape of your true self, of the integrity piece. So I guess that's, I'm kind of coming back to integrity, time, container, true shape, sovereignty.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, good. We'll pause it there. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. All right. And you can put your practitioner hat on if you want, Maria, as well. Okay. And I'm going to give everyone a couple of moments to jot down. Hopefully you have been already. What are things that you would want to create awareness on if you were the practitioner? How would you want to create awareness? And I also want to remind you, because I didn't mention this in our review in the beginning, as a reminder, one of the many reasons why creating awareness is important, or one of the many ways that we use creating awareness, is also when a client has said something as an opportunity to help them more deeply embody what they've already said or what they already know. And sometimes that is a simple taking a pause and just reflecting back exactly what they just said, right? And giving it space. As a reminder, this is an experimental place. So I really want to encourage you to raise your hand, even if you're not sure. We're going to learn from everything and from all of the ideas. So what are some things and ways that you would want to create awareness? Victoria.
Sorry, I had to get to it. So I was deeply moved, Maria, when I heard you say, I need to be in a bigger spot, not that I need to shrink. And when you said that, it ran through me. So I just thought to circle back to that and recognize it, acknowledge the words, acknowledge that it moved me, and to offer it back as a reflection.
Beautiful. So beautifully done, Victoria. First in the, just that, that was such an important moment. Maria kind of went through it quickly, but it, if it was right, like in that moment in the session, we would want to create a pause on it. Because it's a big piece for that client to like take in and embody even more. And also so well done on the delivery. I just want to pull for everyone, you know, we could really feel that Victoria wasn't just like finding something to find her like BS. And the speaking of like, I was moved, it moved through me. Such a beautiful way to acknowledge and celebrate an honor. Good. Who else? What have you got? Don't be shy. What would you want to create awareness on? Jessica.
So I heard her saying that, hey, I did all this trimming and trimming and trimming and making it smaller. And my initial reaction was to be, you have a lot to give, break it into more things and give more classes and it, like give the value, like don't hold your value away from people because they're there. They want to hear you. They're in your presence. So rather than breaking things and I almost got the feeling like you were trimming to throw it onto the scrap pile. And I wanted for you to trim and nurture a new tree and make a new thing and make and give your value more and make what you have to give bigger. So
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. You'd want to clarify that with the client first to make sure that you are hearing it the right way. And then like a beautiful piece of consulting, reflecting to toss for the client, right? Like the, all the trimming, you know, what is there value in what's being trimmed? And then where can that be used? Or especially if there is maybe Maria didn't have any real resistance to trimming, but that would be another like consulting piece to bring in there. Beautiful. Good. Jennifer.
Hi. I think this is just a reflection. Maria, I was very much taken by what feels like a very easeful facility with getting in touch with your higher wisdom and really embodying that. And I hope you trust and use that with frequency. It seems like a really valuable resource for you.
Nice. Yeah. Another beautiful creating awareness. Number one, just because it's great to create awareness of what, on what you're creating for the client, Maria did, if she was so, it was so easy for her to connect in with that higher wisdom and she was so natural with it. So great in general, and also great for the subject matter because we were talking about sovereignty and some of her definitions of sovereignty were being present in the moment and intimately connected. So the creating awareness of that bolsters in that, like that sovereign self as well. And you could even make, you know, like connect those dots as well when you were making the reflection if you wanted to. Great. Jen.
Hey, everybody. Maria, I was really struck, like, you started with time and you came back to time. And one of the things that you named right at the beginning is that you come from like midwifery and there's this organic time. And then something about the way that you're holding this coaching offering or this Qigong is, it seems to have an expectation that there's a very firm time. So that's one of my questions is like, is there another relationship? Is there a way to bring in that organic exploration, that organic way of holding time that is also within a container? And then the other little piece that kind of goes along with this is I get curious, if it wasn't timing, would you have found another way to doubt or question whether it was good enough? And so I could see going either one of those directions. I'd be curious to know, you know, if you're drawn either of those directions.
Nice, beautiful. First thing was a question to create awareness, and we'll get so much more into questioning, but that is a way of creating awareness. And then the second piece that Jen is creating awareness on, we could all, well, I shouldn't say we could, I could also, in the beginning when Maria was sharing, right, it's almost, it was like there was about the time, but you could feel there was this other push pull that was deeper. That would be a great, that would be a great reflection towards the beginning of a session. If the client was like, no, I just need for you to tell me, how do I do this differently next time? If we're feeling that kind of back and forth, that we could, or that I could at least feel, and Jen could too, I'm sure, of the like describing how she was feeling about the night before. Good. Who else? What else would you want to, you know, it's sometimes a little awkward because we're doing it at the end and you would want to do these things throughout the session. But what else? Sharon.
Not really sure how to word this because I'm a little super tired and there's something in the piece of sovereignty towards self and sovereignty towards the others in the circle. And there was something linking for me around the words that Maria used around stubbornness and sovereignty, almost as though they were clashing. And for me, there's something about that power of really acknowledging where the boundary is around what you're willing to give, what you're not willing to give. And maybe there's a piece in that kind of, it's around the timing. It almost feels like that's out of alignment with the sovereignty for both herself and for the group. Like, I'm not really quite able to put that words together, but for me, the energy, I experienced the energy change when it was like, oh, I've got to shoehorn into this space and I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why do you? The question for me was, why? Why, if that's something that's really passionate, that's coming up, why does there need that to be there? Yeah,
this is great. So you actually just offered two different ways of creating awareness. I'll add a couple like pieces to it, but so beautifully done. You could just simply ask the question, right? Why? In just that very short, simple way. That's one beautiful way. The other, Sharon, and I say this for you and for everyone, it's okay that you used a lot of words in describing the sense that you were getting and that the kind of the tension. And so I would say is in a session, share that and then just remember back to some of the skills we learned at the end of it. Say, does that resonate for you? Or what, if anything, from that resonates, or what does that spark for you when I say that? So you can, we always obviously don't want to be long-winded, and I don't think you just were, by the way, but we can kind of say, okay, I don't have this thought fully formed, but let me toss to you what is moving through me, and you toss it, and then just say, how does that land, or what does that spark, if anything, or tell me why I'm wrong, you know, whatever it is.
Nice. Jen.
I got hit by some fatigue, so here I am. Something that really stood out to me that hasn't been mentioned is when her tone switched to a part of her. And I was super intrigued by that part. It was right before sassy. It was that like, hey, yeah, I did do it okay. Like her inflection changed. And so I would reflect that back to her, like, hey, I just noticed there was a part of you that was here, you know, what, and get more curious about what that was. I was sensing an earlier childhood. And so I would, in the work that I do, I would want to go there and ask her some questions about, you know, getting to earlier memories. Yeah, that's where I would have gone with that.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Like normalizing it, my sense was that there was this like feeling misunderstood, or I think unworthiness was brought up by her a few times.
I just want to make sure. Can you say which part of the conversation it was?
It was this like moment. And forgive me, I got like hit by a big fatigue wave, but she changed her inflection. She said something around the lines of like, hey, yeah, I did do that right. She was kind of telling herself that.
Yes. Yes. I think your fatigue, you may have missed the couple minutes after, because we did actually go.
Okay. I had to move where I was.
Maybe I missed a place because I want to make sure I'm responding.
Okay.
Yes. I'm so glad you're pulling on that and sharing all of these pieces. When we notice a change in inflection, that's something we want to be listening for. And we want to create awareness on that on one of two ways, right? So we can create awareness in the way that you're suggesting, absolutely, by, you know, I just heard that your voice changed and I'm wondering if blah, 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 blah. Or we can create awareness around that the way that I did in the conversation with Maria, which I asked the question. I think I said something like, what do you notice about the way that your voice just changed, or the energy in your voice just changed, right? But that is such an important piece that we want to be listening for. And then, yeah, we didn't like fully, we followed that a little bit, but in an actual coaching session, you might then follow that thread. See where
I remember you saying that, I was pretty curious about that part.
Yeah.
And asking some more questions about that piece, that thread.
Yes, absolutely. Good.
Thanks, Maria, for being so vulnerable with us.
Yeah, so Maria, back to you. Are you there? Say hi so I can see you on the screen. What has the experience been like of hearing all of these different awarenesses?
It's helpful. Jen's last one, talking about going to inner child, this whole journey has been a maiden journey. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through like all these maiden years. Yeah, I'm not going to go into the details. It was awesome. But we went through. So it, of course, my maiden showed up. My teenage, because she's who we're honoring. So of course my maiden shows up, and I'm talking about sovereignty, because that was the whole point, was we're maiden young women, and we're coming into our sovereignty as these young maidens. So that was really neat that I, you know, when those parts of me came out, those were just, I didn't anticipate them to come. But then when I see them, I'm like, oh yeah, that was like my maiden and my mother, my maiden mother part of me showing up at the same time. And so that feels very resonant with the journey I was just on, that was leading to sovereignty. I guess people keep talking about time and how I can work with time differently. And I believe it was Sharon was talking about the circle, integrity of self and integrity of the circle. It's just that it's a late night and, you know, for some people it's really late and they have work in the morning. So I don't want to run over time just out of respect for them. Right. But I don't want to minimize myself. And so this group is an ongoing group. And so the things that I'm cutting out, I made a longer, more elaborate Lady of Communion transmission, and I put it in the learning portal so they can have access to it. So I didn't cut anything away and not share it. I just didn't want to share it in that live moment because I wanted more space for the sisters to share, because it's about their sovereignty also, and they're weaving their voice in. And when I'm the only one talking, then they don't get to talk. So that was why I want to cut it out. It's not that I want to, it's not that I want to cut myself out. I just want to be even more efficient. Like Qigong is all about do less and get more, you know, like in herbalism, I'm an herbalist, you know, you want to make a tincture and use the fewest amount of herbs to have the most potent tincture that does the most broad reach. So it's not about diluting, it's about distilling down. So when I'm cutting out, I appreciate that. I appreciate making sure that I don't dilute myself, but I distill it.
I love that.
And so that's the thing about time, really, is just to respect other people.
Good. Good. Yeah. Thank you. Great. Does anybody want to, and Maria, feel free also if you want to comment on this. In the beginning, when Maria and I were talking, even though it wasn't a coaching session, does anybody want to comment on just what you saw or noticed or learned about going from the wanting feedback about if it was okay to go over time or how not to versus getting into the sovereign piece? Or why I how I did it or why I kind of led us to expand into, I didn't know it was going to go into the sovereignty. But what was that about and why did I take that time in the beginning? Catherine.
I think it may be something deeper than this, but it sounded like it was like a really big sort of value and motivator for her, and just kind of it seems like conceptually it's a big word. It seems like it's pretty big for her. God, I felt like I had more of an answer, and it's
yes.
But yeah, that's kind of that. It felt really big.
Yeah, there's a bigger piece there than just the, like, did I do that right? Or should I have done it differently? Good. Bruce.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. First of all, I just love the metaphor of the tree, and I was curious about the roots of that as well as the branches as you were talking about that, but I embodied that as you were working with it at the same time. So, for me, what was coming up, and Joanna, maybe this is what you're talking about, but this is what I noticed and what kind of stuck with me through the whole process is this idea of sovereignty. But in the beginning, we was talking about other mentors and how, you know, she was copying or wanting to copy and always following and always, so it was almost like looking for, you know, that validation of her own sovereignty. Like there was a trace of that there, but she didn't fully step into her own sovereignty. Yes. And so she was questioning it for herself. Yeah. And I really thought there was an opportunity, which is what you did, was to bring her into her own sovereignty, to help her to recognize that she has that she doesn't need, you know, possibly to, you know, the mentoring is great and it's something we bring with us and comes through us, but to trust in that sovereignty is what I heard, and that was underneath it all.
Yeah, good. Absolutely. If that was a real coaching session and the client said, I want feedback on, you know, I went too far, it went over time, and should I have or shouldn't I have? Number one, it would be a very short session. Just give feedback. But number two, as you're saying, Bruce, and as Catherine mentioned, even as Maria was getting to asking that question about the time, there was the, well, I want to celebrate, but there's this one thing. And there was this feeling of like, yes, Maria, like there were parts that you really were celebrating, but there was something else there for you that a simple, let me consult on this answer, you weren't going to feel. And I didn't have the word sovereignty then. I didn't know what it was for you. You then, from like prompting, brought it there, right? But it was this feeling of the simple answer isn't the bigger piece here, isn't the piece that wants to be more deeply embodied. And in the saying, okay, there's a, like, there, yes, we can answer that, but what's the deeper piece here for you? First, Maria answered, well, usually with mentors, I do this and then I do that, right? Which was great. We were starting to get at what's the bigger piece here that is so important for Maria in her facilitation, in her leadership, and just in that moment. And then from there, I forget what question I asked, but that's when they're like, oh, it's about my sovereignty, right? And then it wasn't a coaching session. I was jumping all around, but we were kind of getting at different pieces of it. So yes, thank you, Bruce. Absolutely. And thank you, Catherine. And I'm pulling on this for all of us because we also really want to think about how we're starting sessions, and it's not that something can change. Obviously things can change in sessions and one thing leads to the next, but we do want to take the time at the beginning of a session to really support a client to clarify what their intention is. And if we're using our listening skills, even in that intention setting, if we're using our listening skills, we hear, oh, okay, there's that intention, but I feel like there's something else that the client wants here that hasn't been articulated yet. Don't worry about time. Take the extra 2 or 3 minutes to see if you can establish it. It will be so much more supportive of the client, but it will also make the session so much richer. Every now and again, a cigar is just a cigar. It's just like, no, you know, what was the answer to, you know, how do I do that? Yes. But by and large, there's always going to be a bigger inner piece that is involved in it. Any last word on that? Okay. We have 1 minute left.
I see that Kathy was kind of raising her hand. I was going to say Bruce was right on it. You touched exactly what my wobble is. I'm holding sovereignty and an opening sovereignty for others. And then afterward, I want to process. Partially, this is processing. I didn't have anybody to process with. And I was processing and you saw me wobble in my own sovereignty, being like looking for validation on the very thing that I taught. You don't need to look for validation. And that's a a power leak. So it's calling me back into my own integrity. So I appreciate that. Thank you, everybody, for helping me do that.
Kathy.
Thank you. And thank you, Maria. I enjoyed watching your process and learned from you as well. So I was just thinking, and I took notes on everything you asked, Joanna, and what is this? What is this? And even though you weren't supposed to be coaching, I thought you were. And I thought the more open-ended and you know, right away asking, is there something else? Is there something else to get her to the sovereignty that she really then continued to explore? And I guess what I want to clarify is that in my mind is that we can use these techniques to, I mean, there could be different threads, as Jennifer says, as well. There could be many, many ways it could go. And you could also use the tools of responding in different ways to come to something quicker. I mean, this was obviously a longer process because it was more open-ended. And yet I feel that, and Maria said it helped her. So I guess my question, I'm just questioning what you did. Was that valid?
So let me see if what I did was valid. So what I will say, that's not how I would have conducted that coaching session, but of course I did. I can't help myself. Of course I did, you know, ask some questions or ended up reflecting some things that were coaching questions versus just flat out interview questions, which just goes to show that even if we're not using all of our skills, but if we're present and we're following our curiosity, a conversation is going to be really valuable for the human being in front of us. So yes, you're right. I was coaching, but that's not necessarily how I would have. And then I want to pull on the piece that you said about, and that Jen was saying, like this thread and that thread, absolutely. And this is what I love about this work that we all do, is that a client can share their intention in the beginning of a call, and 10 different coaches are going to help the client get to that intention in 10 different ways. And the same coach on different days is going to help that client get to that intention in different ways. This is an art, not a science. And it's many roads lead. It's not just one. And the reason why I point that out is, number one, because I think understanding that makes it more fun and creative. And also it takes away the pressure of, I have to get this right, or I have to find the one thread. There's always going to be, it's always a choose your own adventure for the client and kind of for the practitioner too, based on, so long as we're checking our filters, but still like what our filters are, right? And where our curiosity is leading us. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, good. I want to honor that we're over time. Lisa, I want to take your question. And also, of course, if you have to hop off, Lisa.
So I wrote this in the chat because I was kind of hiding from coming on and actually saying, I found today's session really difficult because, and I appreciate that by the nature of it, it needed to chop and change around a little bit in order for you to model some things to us. But because none of that then followed where my thought process was going, in order to land on something that felt like I could create a useful question around creating awareness, I was just like, I can't think about this. It's just doing my head in. And then I didn't spot anything to do with where in the early stage you had noted that there was a deeper layer. And I was like, I didn't catch what it was that took you down that direction. So I guess there's two pieces there. I'd be interested in if you could expand a little more on what it was you saw there, and then also all the other stuff I just blurted out at the start.
I'm so glad that you did. So to work backwards, all the other stuff, just to, for clarity, I wasn't modeling anything. I was trying to ask, that's why I kept on saying, it's not coaching. I always try to say that a lot of times so that there isn't confusion. I'm just sort of trying to get information from a lot of different places for different people in the group to pick up on, ooh, that would be interesting to create awareness on, or that's something to honor, or that's something to reflect, or that's something to celebrate, or that's something to pause on. So I wasn't modeling anywhere. And the jumping around is just to try to kind of get as much information as possible. So let me just pause there with that. And even though it was really choppy, Lisa, as an example, I'll ask you one thing that none of our shares touched on is an honoring what is piece. Was there something that you noticed in what Maria was sharing where you would want to either normalize or honor what is or celebrate?
Good question. I guess because I didn't write anything down as we were, that's a lie. I did write some things down as we were going along, but I didn't feel like I was getting anywhere with it. So I think like I just have a general level of frustration with myself about the process. And maybe I chose the wrong words with saying modeling there, because that's not necessarily what I meant, but I get why the session had to be like it was. I just found it hard for me personally to feel like I've done what I need to do with it.
Yeah, I hear that. And I completely get that. And that's also like why I'm asking, like throw away what you wrote down if you want to play. If you don't, we don't have to. And just from what you took in, is there something that you heard Maria say that you were like, ooh, that was really important. I would want to pause on that or honor her for that or celebrate her for that?
Yeah. So yes, kind of coming back to that then, what I hear is that Maria has a deep level of compassion for allowing her clients to go through their process. Mm. And wanting to create the space for that to happen.
Yeah, beautiful. So yes, it was difficult and I honor that. And also the reason why, because that was a beautiful reflection right there that I think would have been so valuable for the client in the session, right? To take a moment and honor and celebrate how much compassion Maria has for her clients and how she holds the space for, you know, everything that you just said. So anyway, even when a client is speaking, if it's all over the place, you can still, just like you did, use your listening skills, find a place to focus on, and then ask a question. In terms of the beginning, what I was hearing was it felt like, how do I want to share it? It felt to me like, yes, Maria wanted an answer to that, maybe wanted an answer to this question of, is it okay that I went over time or what could I have done differently? But as I was listening to her, it felt to me like, I don't want to say that was beside the point. I think it was an important piece, but it felt like I could feel in her energy, the best way I could describe it is like she wanted to celebrate, but then this thing was nagging at her. And so she couldn't fully celebrate. And so what I got curious about in my mind is this a pattern for the client? Is this
this not like, okay, something maybe didn't go right, but is this like not this, I didn't feel that like full body. And I know Maria to be a woman who knows she's amazing too. So the curiosity was, is this a pattern for the client? Because if it is, then just giving an answer to the question, as someone else shared, like there may have been something else than she picked on, or next time she might pick on something. It felt like there was a bigger piece in it, because she said, I want to celebrate, but she wasn't really celebrating. Also
of what she wanted and what was being said.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So we are over time. Speaking of time, Maria, we are over time. I'd love to hear, as you all continue to reflect on the call today, what else comes up. You have in your member center other creating awareness practicum that if you want to listen to and do some more practicing, they're there for you. And to Lisa's point, they are like, when you go into it, they are like today all over the place. The invitation is, you know, try to deal. It's hard, I know. Navigate it and still see, like, even in the chunks, what are pieces you can pick up on that you would want to create awareness on. And let me know how it goes. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.